So now we get into a second dimension, which is economic and financial risk in international marketing. Again, we are studying this in a generic manner, but from the host country point of view. Okay, that is the country in which you are now having your international business, not the home country. So type of economic and financial risk in international market due to fluctuations in the currency value, which is the greatest one. Okay, that impacts the cost of import, the pricing of the product gets impacted, and repatriation of the profit is getting reduced. So this has its own pitfalls. If the economic condition in the country where you are planning to do a business or doing an international business is not very healthy. Impact of rupee depreciation on Apple's pricing in India. So even India has done a rupee depreciation, but though long back, I think in 90s or something as I remember. As a result, Apple, which imports most of these iPhone into India, this is, I'm talking about that, not now, has frequently raised prices due to depreciation against US dollars. So at that time, they were also manufacturing in US, and because we kept depreciating our rupee, so it has impacted their final price in India. So they have to get into changing their price frequently. Inflation vis-a-vis rising costs, fairly under control, but inflation, if goes out of hand, means 10 rupee item of vegetable may become 12, may become 15 rupees. So you see that somewhere or the other, the consumer will exercise control. So as a result, consumer purchasing power goes down. And when that goes down, the purchases go down. It may impact your operational cost, because what you were buying part at 10 rupee, now you're buying at 12 rupee, likewise. So this disturbs the whole pricing mechanism. Example is oil price shock and airline industry challenge. When India was going through a bad phase and we had severe price-related issues, our dependency on the other country was very high. So as a result, the airline industry was severely getting impacted. So they literally like were either not flying or they will not have the fuel filled into India. Economic slowdown and recessions, economic downturns, of course, reduce consumer spending, I have already told you earlier, and thereby the demand on the product goes down. So you lend into excessive production capacity, but no demand. So that's a challenge. Global financial crisis and luxury brands. During 2008 financial crisis, which is broadly the so-called recession, luxury brands like Gucci, Louis Vuitton, and Prada experienced decline in their sales, and consumer, because cut back on their discretionary spending, consumer even gave up their brand preferences and they went for either lower grade or non-branded products. Credit and payment risk, yes. Sudden changes in the government stance or sudden some changes in the policy, etc. Your credit gets locked, you know, or you may not get your payment in time. Tariff, trade barrier, protectionism policy is always there. That impacts the economy and therefore the international business. How do you mitigate this economic and financial risk in the international marketing? Hedging against the currency risk, which is actually a technique, more time needed, but it's like if you are selling something, you are buying something in return, and that way you are trying to protect the differential in the change of currency rate, etc. So it's like not necessarily buying and supplying the same thing. You do the another transaction where the foreign currency change will benefit you. You do the transaction where you are likely to face a adverse situation, and thereby you try to protect your interest. Flexible pricing strategies, adjusting the pricing based on inflation governance. So you have to constantly monitoring the inflation and its impact. And local purchasing power, impact of inflation on the local purchasing power as well. So that also you have to determine, and then you do your pricing. So you have to be flexible about it. In short, market diversification, expand your market, go to the multiple market. Therefore, your dependency based risk goes down. Single economy will not destabilize your organization. Localizing supply chain. So setting up the manufacturing facility in host countries, okay, help avoid tariff barrier and currency risk. So like if you kind of set up your manufacturing itself out there instead of just exporting goods from here, you overcome number of barriers like tariff you will not face, currency risk you will not face, legal and financial safeguards. Companies therefore get into investing in insurance, trade finances, mechanisms so that, you know, the fund is fluid, available, but same time can be adjusted. Secure payment method, which ensures that you get 100% of your eligible payment vis-a-vis financial frauds or uncertainties. So we have understood how the economic risk can be mitigated. Now, what we are getting into is the risk pertaining to the firm's operations in a foreign market. Here, you are actually having your operation in the foreign market. You can export where operation is not there in the other country, but you are joint venture. Again, it is somebody is operating a plant, but it's not necessarily your full-fledged this thing. But here you set up your full-fledged operation out there. That is what we are trying to study in this section. So we'll now study this risk pertaining to the firm's operations in foreign market. So types of risk are cultural and consumer behavior related risk, which is cultural norms across the world, even within one country differs from state to state, city to city. Values of living life, preferences, etc. do change. So for example, is the McDonald's same classic customization in India. What they came out with on introduction vis-a-vis what their menu has it today, complete change. It's more Indianized, so to say. Supply chain and logistics disruptions. International firms often depend on global supply chain, which makes them vulnerable to delay in transportation, trade restrictions, raw material shortage, geopolitical issues. So now that, just to give you an idea, because of Iran-Iraq war and that channel being blocked, everyone has to take a longer route. Even during India-Pakistan war, Operation Sindoor, airlines and all have to take longer route. You know, so all these things impacts whichever way, the delay or the cost of operations, etc. So that's what like Suez Canal. So that is what one generally discusses about. It majorly impacts the world economy. You know, you will not believe, but this one canal, so much of a trade passes through it, and if it is shut, very long routes has to be taken by those ships, etc. So regulatory and compliance risk, which is governing your business as per the local laws, local regulations of the labor, taxation policies out there, and various industry specific requirements could be there. The way you probably incentivize dealership out here may not work out there. So that kind of a operations here, you might have a centralized dealership operation management there. It may not be possible due to technology or maybe thing. So example is Uber's regulatory battle in London, where Uber operations in London were temporarily banned due to non-compliance with safety and licenses regulations. So then they have to fall in place and then adhere to it. Labor and workforce challenges, hiring and managing employees in foreign market involves differences in labor laws, unionization, cultural work ethics, and local talent availability. So it's a combination wherein what kind of work culture you are giving, what kind of cultural ethics you are supporting, is there a union or lack of union, availability of the skilled talent as required by your business, Foxconn worker protest in China. So here, due to various things that has been overlooked, which was impacting the labor, they came together and created a protest, which is very rare in country like China, please remember. So this is what is one need to govern. Intense local market competition. So Walmart exit from Germany. So despite being a global retail giant, they are the globally well-known. Walmart failed in Germany. Why? Strong local competition. There are two brands which has been mentioned. Cultural misalignment. They were not able to culturally fit themselves with the employee also. Okay, and operational inefficiencies that led to model not giving them the required return on investment. And they are fast in such case to decide and they withdrew. Political and security risk, which is instability of the political environment, civil unrest where society is at war with each other, terrorism of various nature, and frequently changing government policy really threatens companies' physical operation. And even many places, employee safety is also concerned. So because for certain operations, certain specific work, you may have to depute person from other part of the world. So his safety is a concern. So example is like Starbucks store closure in Russia. After geopolitical tension in international sections, earlier I have taken the same example for McDonald's. Starbucks has to shut down all operations in Russia due to its origin being US company. So this is what are the operational risks. How do you mitigate various operational risks? So conduct thorough market research. Essentially, before you enter, cultural nuances has to be understood. Competitive picture has to be taken fully. Regulatory landscape has to be understood. And there is a predictability. If company has come down to certain level of legal aspects, the next in line or next what they will follow can emerge as a possible direction for you. And that direction can be predicted. And based on that, whether your interest is protected or may get affected, you need to know. Building strong local partnership, which is how you collaborate with local businessmen, suppliers, legal experts to navigate your operational challenges. So you have to have consultative outsourcing as an approach so that certain things which is very difficult for you to comprehend and control, maybe you outsource it to the local vendor or a supplier. So he will be in a position. Developing a flexible business model, which is strategy is done in such a way that it understands the local consumer behavior, market condition, and various regulatory changes that governs your operation in that country. Diversifying supply chain sources. So as I earlier also we have mentioned, instead of single country, at least have two or more sources of supply. Compliance and risk monitoring. We have earlier understood that doing regular audit, financial and operational risk can come out and you can prevent before it majorly affects you adversely. So one caselet about this from an IKEA, which is a very well-known Swedish furniture giant, do it yourself, generally promotes that kind of a thing, face multiple operational risks while entering in India. Okay, the challenge was a regulatory hurdle. India's foreign trade investment policy restricts IKEA's ability to open store, which delayed entry. Okay, when they decided to enter India, announced plan, but later on they realized that FDI policy is not of very friendly in nature. Supply chain issue, IKEA had to localize 30%, that is India's policy. Okay, that you are given license to enter subject to your sourcing 30% of your supply from local sources. Complying with that took its own time. Consumer behavior differently, and Indian consumers preferred ready-made furniture. We are not used to assembly, while IKEA promotes do-it-yourself. Okay, that led to the kind of initial resistance. So they were not even providing assistance. Remember, they have to later start. So you have a choice of this thing that somebody from IKEA will come and assemble for you. So you see those kind of shift there to bring in high real estate cost. India is a country where real estate cost is very high. That leads to operational cost going too high. And this is not a kind of a product or a store that can be far away in an industrial area where the government offers a lot of rebates. They have to be probably outside but close to the city where people can come. Even if it's a large city, they have to be within the city. So that leads to this overhead cost, issue due to high real estate costs, renting or buying, whatever way. overcomes this hurdle, IKEA invested in local partnership. Okay, they created adapted store format, okay, and then modified product pricing to suit Indian consumer preferences, provided them with the service which Indians are used to. So this is where they can kind of overcome their operational risk, minimize it or mitigate it, and then utilize the opportunity in the country like India. Transfer risk in international marketing. This is all about money transfer. So various country has its own rules. So foreign exchange control and currency restriction, generally that's what it falls under. Many government regulates foreign exchange transaction, not exceeding kind of thing. Okay, so that controls the outflow of capital. It may even include the profit. Example, Argentina's currency control. The Argentinian government has imposed strict foreign exchange control, making it difficult for multinational company to convert pesos, which is their currency, into dollars and repatriate their profit to the parent company. As a result, parent company has to think other way around. So how they will maximize their return by operating in that country, Argentina, or they may have to decide whether to want to close down. Political interventions and capital transfer bans. Government sometimes restricts capital transfers due to economic crisis or sanctions or geopolitical tensions that is prevailing. So Russia has restricted capital transfer ban in 2022 when they went into war with Ukraine. Following that, companies' ability to withdraw money was taken away. So many companies are that way stuck out due to this. Hyperinflation and currency devaluation. Now you will see some of the terms you will read and listen, but you have to constantly remember they are from the either home country orientation or from the host country orientation. That differentiation should be able to bring out. This terminology is hyperinflation and currency devaluation, I already discussed. Here, country when experience a very high surge, prices are not in control, or currency devaluation due to some other activity or some other incidents happening in other part of the world, your value or the value of the other country goes up with whom you are doing a transaction. As a result, you face a devalued currency situation. So that poses a great risk. It impacts your pricing, profitability, etc. So here's the example of Zimbabwe's hyperinflation impact on business. So they have like 89%. India, the inflation is 6.5%. 89%, you can understand. So that has made their economy so, so difficult that foreign countries are very shy of entering. Okay, and those who are there are wondering how to get their profit back. So in one of the another risk in the transfer risk is the banking and payment system disruptions. What if your central bank or specific bank in which you have invested your fund or kept your fund, etc., goes corrupt, goes kaput, or closes down, so to say, or likewise restrict access to international banking network. If suppose you are not allowed to transact with international banks where either your vendor or your customers banking transaction is happening, etc., so transferring money, etc., and receiving money becomes difficult. Iran's exclusions from SWIFT, so which is a body where banking transaction related regulations are there. Due to global sanction, Iran was banned out of SWIFT banking system, therefore preventing company like Peugeot, Total, which is a lubricant company, Siemens, from making international transaction with Iranian counterparts. So that's another one. So now how do you mitigate your risk of a transfer, that is a transfer risk mitigation in international market? Diversify market operations so that you avoid over-reliance on high-risk market and ensure revenue streams from multiple countries. Even banking-wise, you have to try and see that you have varieties of bank and financial non-banking institutions, networks, so that you can route your money transfer or money payment, etc., using local financing options like borrow or reinvest within the country to reduce the dependency on currency conversions, etc. So many times your global headquarter wants to give you money, but for that they will have to transfer. So instead, try and avail the loan or something from locally so that you remove this currency conversion related aspects or capital transfer related restrictions and all. Hedge against currency risk, which is using a forward contract, options or currency swaps, and these are essentially a financial term, very big in its own way, but it is like if some transactions you are doing it now to protect this adverse impact, you also do some transaction for future. So when you go there, at that point of time, this transaction gets executed. Now it may be at either higher rate or lower rate, etc., depending on the risk that you visualize. So that way there's a forward contract, options, currency swap, you know, which is making the payment in the different currency, etc. Structuring joint venture with local firms, where I earlier also we have mentioned that if you take local help, you make them partner, then various capital controls, regulatory requirement related risk, a transfer risk, etc. gets minimized. Negotiating profit repatriation, so that you try to make an agreement where even government allows and approves and gives you financial guarantee to allow you to transfer certain portion, certain percentage, certain value of profit to your country so that your interest is protected. This generally happens when you are entering a market, you have a high potential, government also looks at you as a very important player, then they may get into such kind of act with you. So after studying all these things, risk pertaining to ownership and investment in the foreign market. Ownership, which is owning something out there or investing in that country. So this is what we are going to discuss. Expropriation and nationalization risk. So expropriation occurs when a government seizes foreign owned assets. So your assets are seized by the government. They take over without giving you compensation or very little compensation. So you as a foreign counterpart, suppose have come to India and set up a full manufacturing plant. Tomorrow your asset is expropriation, faces that, you know, the government takes charge. They may not give you anything, or they may give you a little bit. So that's a big risk of ownership. Nationalization involves a broader takeover of entire industry. That is what happened when Indian banks were nationalized. Okay, so that various banks got turned into government bank, so to say. So that's what example I've given you. Foreign ownership restrictions and regulatory barriers, where many countries import certain restrictions on what one cannot own in that country. So that's what one has to follow. India's FDI rule in retail and e-commerce, they do not allow ownership beyond a point. So that the majority control is not acquired. Political instability and government policy shifts, you try and get into protecting your interests, which is generally when political instability is there, policy changes happens, you know, and then your payment or investment there gets affected. Example is Brexit, you know, which is what recently they have done. The United Kingdom exit from the European Union. They were part of it, but they exited European Union, led to severe uncertainty for various multinational companies present across European Union, including UK. So this is what one faces as a risk. Intellectual property risk and technology transfer issues, etc. Pharmaceutical IP issue in India. India has a patent law favors domestic generic drug maker, leading to dispute with multinational pharmaceutical company. Even when we enter into collaborations, etc., the right of that thing passes on to us, which is what many foreign company resist or restricts. You know? So that's where then you get into a conflict. So Pfizer, Novartis cases went on for very long. So this is what one aspect. Capital repatriation and profit transfer risk, we have discussed earlier, where you are either restricted from transferring the capital outside your country, or even percentage of profit beyond which you cannot transfer profit to your foreign parent company, etc. So that creates a bit of a operational issue for the parent company. They are expecting return on investment. That return on investment goes down. So shareholders of that company have not paid well. Here, India's dividend distribution tax, now which is of course abolished, this was there before 2020, dividend distribution tax making it expensive for foreign firms to repatriate their earnings. So if you are transferring amount, there is certain tax that you have to pay. So this is a type of risk. Now this is very difficult for people to really predict. It just comes on to you. So how do you mitigate? Entering through joint venture or a partnership where you take the local firm also as a part of your business, and therefore that local firm is able to help you against certain law and thereby protects your interest. Using international investment treaties where investments are protected under bilateral treaties, you know, you enter into, or free trade agreements, so you are guaranteed certain things from the government, so your interest is protected very well. Structuring investment through low risk market, many multinational firms set up regional headquarters in politically stable country like Singapore, Switzerland to manage high risk market. So they try and balance diversifying investment across multiple regions. So avoid over reliance on single market and spread your investment across different geographies so that instability in one will not affect the entire operation. Securing political risk insurance, therefore investing in insurance policies from agencies like Multilateral Investment Guarantee Agency, MIGA, we have discussed earlier, that safeguards your assets against expropriation and political instability. So there are those insurances are available, one should take that. So these are the way that how one can mitigate the ownership and investment risk, okay, in international market. So now we enter into global political, economic and legal environments in marketing. So we are trying to get one umbrella view. Political environment is the impact on international marketing. Government policy regulations does impact export or import business. We have taken an example of FDI policy, foreign direct investment in retail. It restricts the percentage of ownership. Political stability and risk, Russia-Ukraine conflict, we have seen how it impacts the business. For a number of months, our automobile production got stuck. Trade agreement and alliances, Brexit and its impact on the trade, we have seen that, okay, where they were so unified, so one currency, one policy, etc. Now suddenly UK decides to move out. So again, they landed up into a multiple country, multiple currency and those impacts, you know. So still, others have still remained united, that's one good thing, but this is how things happen. Economic environment-based impact, GDP growth and market potential. Countries' growth is indicated through GDP and possible market development. So these are those economic indicators one should study. India is a shining example of economic growth with high GDP. Exchange rate fluctuation, which is what diminishes or increases your value. I'll give you one simple example now. Here, if your value is diminished, means earlier I had to pay 75 rupees to get $1. Now I have to pay 80 rupees to get $1. So that is called depreciation of rupee. But if my rupee is improved, means instead of 75 rupees per dollar, now I might have to pay only 70 rupees per dollar. So you see that its impact now you can understand. Likewise, Turkish lira devaluation, companies devalue. India has devalued this in 90s, late 90s, as I understand. But that was one time when we were really into a severe economic constraining state. Inflation and interest rate, you will invariably read every month or every fortnightly the article or some small this thing talks about inflation. RBI also, our central bank issue statement on that. Because, and the interest rate, you know, you will see that every quarter the RBI declares rate, interest, etc. So those kind of a perspective impacts inflation under control or goes out of control. Cost at which you acquire loan or etc. So those kind of thing, dynamics changes. Legal environment wise, it's an IP law. The protection of your trademark protects you against counterfeits. Advertising and consumer protection enables you to talk rightly, okay, and not get into the law wrong head. Europe's ban on targeted ads for minors, they are, you are not allowed. In India also, this is a subject matter of under discussion. It has again come up. Earlier, companies were adhering to it, but severe competition probably forcing them. So some of them have resorted to it, which has been questioned by intellectuals. Anti-corruption and ethical compliance is Walmart's corruption case in Mexico. It is revealed that Walmart has to spend, they have bribed officials in Mexico to get an entry and certain advantages. It got out of proportion and Walmart name was severely damaged. So with this, we complete this chapter 3 also. Thank you.